It's my plea that the message of the Quran be widely spread. May the flag of Islam become more elevated than the rest.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends 50 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again we are blessed with this wonderful opportunity to participate in this silsila of Madani channel, Blessings of Quran. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, in this silsila we will discuss the verse number 42 and 43 of Surah Al-Baqarah. In verse number 42, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And do not mix the truth with the falsehood, and do not hide the truth while you know. Ulama Yahud, they used to stop people from Iman with two ways, or they used to use two types of tricks. Number one, that if they see somebody is uninformed, they would not tell that person the truth. And if they see someone who is informed or knowledgeable or intelligent, they would put that person in doubt. Sometimes they would then mix the ayat, take out what doesn't suit their agenda and add what suits their agenda. Or they would change the meanings of the verses of the book. So that way, people would get into doubts and have uncertainty, and they would not be clear on issues. For example, when the ignorant ones came to the scholars of Yahud and they asked about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that tell us the signs of the last prophet. And they would say that there is nothing mention of him. So they would deny totally. And when educated people came, they said, well, he is mentioned, but the qualities which are mentioned in our books about Nabi Akhirul Zaman, about the last Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are not found in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they were using two types of tricks. One, that they were mixing haq with batil, truth with falsehood. And the other type of trick they were using was hiding the truth. So they were hiding completely from the ignorant ones, from uninformed people, and they were mixing the truth when they dealt with the educated ones or the intelligent ones. So this is what is being mentioned in this ayah kareema. وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells these people, the ulama of Bani Israel, that stop your evil activities and do not do this what you are doing. Now, keep in mind that at that time, there were no huffaz of those books. There is no Hafiz of Torah and there is no Hafiz of Bible. And there were no bookshops or printing presses at that time. So there were few books, and those books were only with the priests or with the scholars. So it was very easy for them to change because there was nobody who could challenge them. If those books were available freely, and public was also reading, then they could have challenged that you have changed here, or you have changed there. Now, because nobody else had access, only these so-called scholars of books had access, and they became greedy and they took money from people and bribe, and they started changing. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, it is not possible to make any distortion in Quran. The reason is that Quran is printed so much right from the beginning. In the beginning, people had habits of writing and passing it over to others. And then from the beginning, people were memorizing Quran. So even today, there are millions of huffaz, people who have memorized Quran Kareem. So if anyone changes any word of Quran Kareem or any ayat, there will be many who would be able to rectify and challenge and tell that there is distortion or something has been changed. From this ayah kareema we learn, although this ayat was revealed for the ulama of Bani Israel, but those present day ulama who change the meanings of Quran, who distort the meanings of Quran, are included in this ayat. For example, the meaning of word Khatamun Nabiyyin is last prophet. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained. Ana khatamun nabiyyin la nabiyya ba'di. I am khatamun nabiyyin. And what is the meaning of khatamun nabiyyin? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, la nabiyya ba'di. There is no nabi after me. And there is consensus of this ummah. From the time this ayat was revealed till today and will even be till the day of Qiyamah, that the meaning of this portion of the verse Khatamun Nabiyyin is last prophet. Now if someone changes that meaning and he says it means Asli Nabi, it means original Nabi, and he says there is possibility for someone to come as a Nabi after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is pure distortion in Quran Kareem. So those type of scholars, so-called scholars in today's time, are included in this ayat as well. And those ulama who distort the meanings of verses of Quran and Sahih Ahadith to support certain ideas of kuffar or their political plans or to justify the wrongs of the rulers of the time, they are also included in this verse. So they are also hiding the truth, and they are also mixing truth with the falsehood. And we learn from this ayah karima that person who deliberately, knowingly distorts the meaning of Quran Kareem, he commits kufr. Any meaning which is proven with tawatur, with consistency, and someone comes and changes that meaning, that is regarded as blasphemy, that is regarded as kufr, as we explained in Khatamun Nabiyyin, because its meaning is fixed and it's proven with tawatur, with consistency, and if anyone changes that, that is blasphemy, and that person would be out of the fold of Islam. But if person makes a mistake unknowingly, then this hukm, this ruling would not be implemented upon that person. However, it would be a sin, because sometimes people do make these types of mistakes because of not having knowledge. So not having knowledge is a sin. So it would be actually a double sin. Why you did not have knowledge? I mean, those things which are necessary for you to safeguard your iman, to protect your faith, you should have known. That is fard ulum, that is obligatory upon you. So by not doing that, you have already committed a major sin. And because of that, if you said something wrong, then it, though it would not be kufr, but it would be sin. And if an alim-e-deen, for example, he doesn't tell the right masala, or doesn't recite correctly, due to laziness, because he doesn't do hard work, he doesn't do mutalia, he doesn't read books, and this would indeed make him tell wrong things, wrong masalas to people, so he's a sinner. He should have studied, he should have kept himself in touch with the books. And a mujtahid who puts an effort and still he makes a mistake, he gets sawab. Because mujtahid, a jurist, has a special blessings. It is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah, the summary of which is that if a mujtahid makes ijtihad, if a jurist imam, he tries to deduce masail, and if he reaches the correct result, he gets 2 sawab. And if he makes an error, still he gets 1 sawab. Then, in the second ayat, that is ayat number 43, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. And establish salat and pay zakat and bow with those who bow. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ. After iman is amal, and from amal the highest category of actions or amal or ibadat is salat or namaz. And there is difference between performing salat and establishing salat. Here the order is establish salat. Establishment of salat is to perform salat correctly, to perform always, to perform salat on its correct time, to worry about salat means always think about it, when the time is going to come, when you planning your trip somewhere, you worry about salat, would I miss salat, would I not, that's now worrying about salat. Whether you are traveling or you are resident at one place, whether you healthy or you ill, in every condition one has to perform salat. This is what is called establishment of salat. An establishment of salat, iqamat of salat, namaz qaim karna, what is called in Urdu, stops you from evil doings, from wrong things. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Surely salat, namaz, stops from indecency and from wrongdoings. Now, many people say, well, we perform our salat, but bad habits and evil-sightedness, indecency, these types of evils are still there and do not leave us. So ulama ikram have said, maybe they perform salat, but they do not establish salat. So that benefit which a musalli, which a namaz performer gets by performing namaz or salat, is if he establishes salat. If he does not establish salat, then he will not get those benefits which are being promised in Quran Kareem. So fault lies with us. If we establish salat, we will get the full benefit and the reward and the barakah. And if we are careless, sometime read, sometime don't read, don't worry about times, sometimes read in time, sometimes make qaza, and when you little bit ill, have headache, fever, flu, you leave the salat, and then when you fit, then only you read. That is not establishment of salat. We learn that. And then this alif lam, wa aqimus salat, this alif lam on word salat. According to grammatical understanding of this word, this alif lam is ahde khariji. What it means? It means that, O Bani Israel, read the namaz or perform the namaz or establish the namaz of Muslims, not the namaz of Jews or Christians. So in other words, they are told that accept the namaz or accept the salat of Muslims, not of any other type, not of your own type. Keep in mind that this order is given to them after the order of Iman. So there is a sequence that, O Bani Israel, become Muslims, and then after when you become Muslims, then you perform Salat and pay Zakat. This does not mean that they are being ordered to perform Salat or pay Zakat while they are in the state of kufr. This is not the meaning of the verse. Like when you tell a person who doesn't have a wuzu that perform salat. So the order of wuzu is included in it. That means do what is required to perform salat. If you need to go and make istinja, then go and make istinja and then make wuzu and then perform salat. So here the Bani Israels are told, perform salat, pay zakat, and make ruku with those who make ruku. It means that become Muslim first, and then perform salat, pay zakat, and perform your salat with jama'at. Or it could also mean that, O Bani Israel, accept the obligatory nature of salat. And that would also happen if person becomes believer first. Then only he would believe that salat is fard. And then it is said, wa atu zakata. After Salat, the payment of Zakat is mentioned. Namaz is Badani Ibadat, that's done bodily. And Zakat is Mali Ibadat, that means Zakat is done, this Ibadat is performed with wealth, with money. And body, your own self, is greater than your wealth. Therefore, Namaz is greater than Zakat. And that's why Namaz is mentioned before Zakat. Also keep in mind that although it's mentioned together that perform Salat and pay Zakat, but the performance of Salat is not similar to the payment of Zakat. Because Namaz is fard upon every poor person, rich person, while Zakat is fard only on the rich people who are Sahib-e-Nishab. The meaning of Zakat is to grow or to purify. As there is a saying in Arabic, Zaka al-Zur'u, that means the crop grew. The meaning of Zakat is like something grew, became a lot. And it is mentioned in Quran Kareem, Ghulaman Zakiyya. This means pure child. Here, the word Zakah is used in the meaning of purification. And in the first example, the word Zakah is used in the meaning of growth. And also mentioned in Quran Kareem, Qad aflaha man tazakka. The one who purified himself, he became successful. Now because when you take out Zakat from your wealth is purified. It becomes clean. Like for example, when person is circumcised or he clips his long nails or he has a haircut, that helps him to make himself pure. That helps him to make himself clean. Now because when you pay Zakat, you purify and you clean your wealth. You take that extra out. Because of that, it is called Zakat. Now apparently, your wealth is decreasing when you take 2.5% out from your wealth. Apparently, it shows that a portion has been taken away. But in reality, it brings barakah in the wealth and it brings barakah and blessings in the age of the person as well. And calamities are removed and person gets peace and harmony from difficulties, troubles, sorrows and calamities. It is mentioned in Tafsir Kabir that sadaqah, charity, has 6 benefits, 3 in the dunya and 3 in the akhirah. Now, 3 in the dunya, when you are charitable, when you give in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, 3 benefits that you will get in the dunya. One is that there will be barakah, there will be blessings in your sustenance. And there will be barakat in your maal, that's second. First, barakat in your rizq. Secondly, barakat in the maal. And enlivening of your home means that the difficulties, the sorrows, unhappiness will be removed from your house. And the 3 benefits that you get in the akhirah is that your faults would be covered on the day of judgment. That's wonderful. If someone's faults are covered on the Day of Judgment, he should do charities in this dunya if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with wealth. And on the Day of Judgment, he will be saved from the sunshine. And you must know that that sunshine would be a killer. That would be so severe, the sun would be mile and quarter away from the earth, and earth would be made of copper, and people would be drowning in their perspirations. And at that time, if someone gets the shade, how lucky he would be. A person who's charitable, who gives in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will get that blessings. And this charity, this giving in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, will become an obstacle between him and the fire of hell. That means it would become a stopper. It would not let him go, in other words, into fire of Jahannam. And again, the Alif Lam, which is mentioned on Az-Zakat, is also Alif Lam Ahde Kharji. What it means? It means that, O Bani Israel, give the zakat of Muslims. Give Islami zakat. Not the type of zakat which was upon Bani Israel. Bani Israel, they had to pay 1/4 of their wealth in zakat. And they had different rules. And now is the rule of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his laws and his sharia would be enforced. So, O Bani Israel, pay zakat, but Islami zakat, not Israeli zakat. So, this is what is being told to them. And then it is said, Warka'u ma'ar raki'een. This is the third order that is given in this verse. It means that, O Bani Israel, bow with those who bow. The literal meaning of ruku is to bow down, literally. And in the terminology of Sharia, it is a name of a posture in Salat. So when you take the lughvi meaning, the literal meaning, it would mean that, O Bani Israel, as the Muslims have bowed down in front of Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or in front of their ahkam and orders and sharia, you should also leave your evil activities and bow down and accept what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has ordered and what His beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is busy teaching. So this is the first meaning, if we take the meaning of ruku in its literal meaning. If we take in istilahi meaning, that is the technical term of sharia or technical understanding, it means that you should perform salat. Which salat? Salat which has a ruku. Salat which has a ruku. Because the salat of Jews did not have a ruku. They would stand and make ibadat. Even till today, if you see Jewish people, they're worshipping, they will not have ruku or sajda. They will be standing and shaking their bodies. So they did not have ruku in their salat. So they are being ordered that now, from now, because the new law has come, so you would not be performing a salat with the old style. Now you will be performing with a new style, and the salat of new style has a ruku in it. So this is what they are being ordered. So in other words, if they are ordered to perform salat, and if they question which salat, they are told the salat which has a ruku, not the salat that you know. It could also mean that perform salat with jama'at. Because when person performs salat with jamaat, he gets 27 times more sawab. And how he gets 27 times more, it is explained very nicely by Hazrat Allama Ismail Haqqi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that jama'at is derived from word jama'ah, that is plural, and the minimum numbers which are required to make jama'ah or jama'at is 3. When person does anything good, he gets reward in 10-fold. So now there are 3 people. So how many good deeds they got? 10, 10, 10. That's 30. Their asal namaz, their original namaz is 1. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added 9 more. So 9, 9 and 9 is 27. So that is the minimum requirement of a jama'at. So when you have minimum jama'at, which is of 3 people, you get the sawab equal to 27 times, which is extra. But if the jama'at is bigger, then of course, according to the numbers of musallis, sawab will keep on increasing, and sometimes you might not even be able to measure that sawab which you get while you perform your salat in jama'at. And also, when you take a delegation in the court of a king, so normally, kings, rulers, they prefer to deal with delegations than dealing with individuals. So you take your case in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal as a delegation, as a group, and you make dua, you present your weakness, your problems, your issues. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, you the king of all the kings, you the Malikul Mulk. We are weak, we have problems, we have issues. Oh Allah, as a group, as a jama'at, we have come to you in your court and we present our issues and problems in your court. Oh Allah, help us. Oh Allah, solve our problems. And in this situation, Imam is the leader of delegation. And you know it very well, that if the leader of the delegation is good person, is pious person, is intelligent, is knowledgeable, is pure in his intentions, then your benefits would be greater and your achievements would be confirmed. But if your leader is corrupt, then even though you make all the efforts to form that delegation, you make all the efforts to establish salat, and your imam is corrupted, his aqidah is not right, or he is an open sinner, fasiq mu'lin, then it's a serious problem. Therefore, our ulama ikram say that it is very important to perform salat with jama'at. But make sure that your imam is not corrupted. His aqidah corresponds with the mainstream aqidah of Muslims from the time of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam till today, inshallah, till the day of Qiyamah. And he must not be a fasiq mu'lin. He must not be a rebellious sinner. Keep in mind that the third order which is given in this verse, that is about the ruku, mean make salat or perform salat with those who make ruku. So under that, ulama ikram have written that this hukm is different compared to the first two hukm, first two orders. This is little more khas. First two are common, aam, and this one is khas, mean there are certain conditions attached to it. Because every salat we do not read with jamaat. For certain namazes jamaat is fard, for certain namazes jamaat is not fard. For example, for jum'a, for eidain, jamaat is fard. For five times daily salat, jamaat is wajib. And for salat of solar eclipse and salat of istisqa, that is to ask rain when there is drought, and salat of tarawih is sunnat. And then jamaat is not wajib upon every person. For example, if he is a traveler or if he is very ill, then jamaat is maaf from that person. Similarly, if there is heavy rain or wind, jamaat is not wajib at that time on those people who are affected by it. Women, children, some blind people and those who are paralyzed, salat is not, the jamaat is not wajib upon them. So as far as warka'u ma'ar raki'in, its hukm is ruled with certain conditions and with certain restrictions. It's not common like the first two. That is, establish salat and pay zakat. When Bani Israel were given the order of iman and other necessary aqaid of Islam, then they are given the order of taqwa and taharat and purity. And they are told that you should establish salat, perform salat nicely, properly. Your hearts must be soft and remove the darkness of your hearts. And then fear Allah Azza wa Jal and take out a portion from your wealth, a part of your wealth, which is fixed by Sharia, and pass it over to fuqara, to poor. Of course, zakat is a poor due, so it should be given to the deserving people. And when you do this, your wealth would be purified. Your wealth will increase. And do not sit at home and perform salat alone. Rather, come to the masjid or where Muslims get together to perform salat with jama'at, and come and perform your salat with jama'at. So you can get the barakat of the deen and you can be blessed with the lights of deen of Islam. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have learned many beautiful Madani flowers from these two verses of Holy Quran. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in the mahal, in the environment of Dawat Islami, we focus a lot on learning and teaching, and to have the correct and authentic information regarding Islam. So wherever in the world you are, join the mahal of Dawat Islami, partake in weekly ijtimaas, and travel in Madani kafilas, because that is one of the best way of reforming yourself and seeing change within yourself. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the wonderful work of Dawat Islami going, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Dawat Islami stronger and stronger day by day, because its work and influence have touched the hearts of millions and have changed their lives. Therefore, we need Dawat Islami, and we should always make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep Dawat Islami amongst Muslims throughout the world for a very, very long time, rather till the day of Qiyamah. Allah karam aisa kare tujh pe jahan mein, ae Dawat Islami teri dhoom machi ho. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.
It's my peace and the message of the Quran being